Hello and welcome to this podcast. I am Denise McKenzie and I head up the sales and purchases at Coulter Solicitors and Estate Agents. And I'm here today with Paul Hilton, who is the CEO of the ESPC. Welcome,
Paul.
Hello, good to see you again. We've done a podcast before, which
was well received.
I'm sure this one will be exactly the same.
Indeed.
I was hoping today we could just have a general blether about the market and how we're finding it, and touch on the old Brexit word and see what your thoughts are about that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Brexit. What are your thoughts on it, and what impact do you think it's having, and do you want to throw your hat into the ring and give Theresa a run for her money?
It's a good question. It's certainly been dominating the press in recent times. I suppose the question, to answer your question about has it had a direct impact on the property market, I'd probably say at the moment it hasn't. We're not really seeing any significant signs of an impact. Instructions are up this year, sales are up. What we do know, when there's great uncertainty, generally people sort of defer decisions and don't make a decision. But there's no real evidence at the moment that we can see that that's happening. And I think probably the question to then ask is why? Why are we not seeing things change? And I think part of that might be that at the moment it's all very conceptual, so it's something that's happening in Parliament, or actually it's something that isn't happening in Parliament at the moment. But until you find that perhaps your overtime is stopped, or your shift isn't working nights to produce cars, or your supplies aren't getting in, and there's something that's actually happening that you can measure, that's maybe when then you start deferring your decision to buy or sell or do something. So the moment, I think, as I say, it's very conceptual, very theoretical, and that's probably why we're not seeing any real changes in the marketplace.
Yeah, I would agree entirely with that. I think that some people are holding their breath a wee mm-hmm. bit, and I think mm-hmm. some people are perhaps holding off marketing their property,
or perhaps
holding off buying because they want to wait and see.
Yeah.
But given that the can's been kicked down the road now until Halloween,
uh-huh.
Life goes on. And as I said to somebody the other day, people will continue to pass away, unfortunately. People mm-hmm. will continue to get married and want to move. People will have children, so the wheel will keep turning.
I think you're right. There's a level of instructions, as we know, across 7, 11 and 5 that are almost there, as you say, because of life-changing events rather than actually a discretionary move. And it's maybe more those discretionary things that might get paused. But I think, as you say, when other things are happening, properties will be sold and people will buy.
Yeah, life goes on. I think what you've said about having a measure, I think that's absolutely right. Until
mm-hmm.
people can actually see the impact it's going to have directly in their lives, then they'll continue as normal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the general market is like at the minute? My thoughts are that supply is not meeting demand, but what are your thoughts on that?
It's. I think this year's been a slight change from last year. So last year, throughout the year, we were talking, certainly up until about October time, around the lack of supply, and clearly when you got a property you could sell it, and you could sell it very quickly and for a premium. I think what we're starting to see is the market cooling a little bit, and so supply is actually up this year significantly. In the first 3 months of the year, it's up 10.5%. So I think what we're seeing is more properties come to the market. So when you increase the supply tap, when you turn that tap on, generally what you find is things do cool a little bit, because suddenly there's a lot more selection, a lot more choice, people can take their time, they can find the right property. And we're starting to see that play out. So for instance, this year the speed of sale has gone out to the median time of 30 days, so that's 5 days more than it was last year. So again, that's probably an indication to me of people taking slightly longer to buy because there's more choice, so they're having a look around and choosing the right property. And again, this is no bad thing. I think we'd all want a little bit more supply, so it's not a bad thing. Interesting enough, sales for the first quarter were up 3.3% on last year. And I think that's probably an indication, again, of more instructions coming on at the end of last year, because November and December were bad. And in January, and those properties selling and ultimately being reflected in the first quarter's figures. So, yeah, at the moment, as I say, the market is doing well, and I think it's holding up very well.
Yeah, certainly Coulters are continuing to grow in what sometimes mm-hmm. is a tough market.
Yeah.
You know, there's competition out there, but you know, we're doing well, we're growing, we do the purchase work as well, and I can see from purchasers that it is sometimes tough to find something.
Yes.
And
yes.
then when they do identify something, that property is going to a closing date and they're being unsuccessful, sometimes by huge amounts.
That's the challenge, isn't it, when you're throwing your hat in a ring and you're bidding on these properties. Again, as the market maybe cools a little, hopefully that gives people more opportunity, and the premium that you're paying over and above the home report valuation isn't as great. In fact, there's probably almost daily signs of that. I mean, I think if you look at last year, for the quarter, it was 103.4% of the home report valuation. So if you were buying your property, you had to find that extra 3.4% yourself. This year, that figure's now down to 102.3%, so the 2.3 you're having to find. And clearly, as we know, once you go over home report, there are challenges if you're a first-time buyer. You know, finding not only your deposit to buy and your legal fees and LBTT, but also then finding the premium that you've got to find
Absolutely.
To try and win the battle. So, you know, a cooling market, I think, would be great news for first-time buyers. And ultimately, this market needs people coming in, buying the first homes and moving up the ladder. So it's not a bad thing if you see it's
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, the perception is that I would have thought that the market had... It seemed quieter this year than mm-hmm. last year, but when you look at your March report, for example, the figures are up. But it's just, you know, the feeling is that there just isn't enough properties, but there clearly are more than there were last year.
There is more. Yeah, absolutely undisputed. Same again, I think certainly a property in a particular Edinburgh hotspot, you know, your perennials, your Stockbridges, your West End, that we know if they come on the market immediately, you're going to have lots of interest and huge amounts of notes of interest. So when we talk about the speed of sale being 30 days, that's an average, that's a median. So across all the properties that are available, we know some take a lot longer to sell.
Yeah, it's interesting the time to sell, because it's quite commonplace now for offers to go in subject to sale.
That's a very good point,
I think agents, solicitors, are becoming more acceptable of that because they have to, because the market has to keep moving. Often they'll give a time scale in which to sell, and because of the average sale time, then it's achievable. Usually it's 4 weeks, which is pretty much the average sale time.
Something new, isn't it? I mean, let's say new. We've seen this market type before, but I think, you know, traditionally in Edinburgh and certainly in Scotland, it's always been that you sort of sell first, then you buy, and now you're in a situation where it's subject to sale. I think what we've also seen is we have seen a slight increase, not a huge amount, but some of those properties ultimately not selling within the window you described there, those 4 or 6 weeks, and the property coming back onto the market. So I think it's a real challenge, isn't it? I mean, I'm interviewing you now. A question around when you have two offers and one sold, you know, one where you've got something that can move immediately, one when it's subject to sale. I suppose it comes down to what's the difference in value of those two offers, isn't it?
I think that's it. I mean, you know, cash is king.
And I think maybe it's probably been a reflection of the market previously, where I think there was a real shortage of supply, so you didn't put your own property on, you're waiting until you found something. And we've always said, you know, you're in the best position possible if you sell first.
Absolutely.
You know, we always made that point.
And that's still the best advice.
Absolutely, and it is. And I think now there's more choice coming to the market. We're seeing more properties on the market than we were last year. You would hope that you'll see sellers start to think more about selling first, because I do think the supply tap that we've now got turned on is going to continue.
Yeah, I agree.
Brexit, no Brexit, I think there'll be more properties coming on.
Where do you think the hotspots are? I mean, to me, it seems to be sort of the first-time buyer flats seem to be, again, flying off the page.
They are, you know, I mean, so again, Leaf, I think, is very popular. Again, I think Leaf has also had the bounce from the announcement around the trams. Funny enough, I was only there just earlier this week and for a meeting. You walk around the place and it's got a vibrancy.
Yeah,
you can see this real change, and you think, well, actually, once the tram gets down there as well, and they're different, just, again, it's just something psychological where it makes a big difference.
Even Leaf Walk looks very different.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
Really nice.
You know, so I think that, I mean, Gorgie still remains a very popular area for first-time buyers. And as we've said, certainly I think we mentioned this in the last podcast, the competition between first-time buyers and investors as well is still there. So we find now more evidence of investors buying at a lower level, so trying to avoid ADS and OBTT, so they're
Absolutely.
Coming in buying at the what we call cheaper properties, if that's the right phrase. Probably not when you're talking about something 130 grand being cheap. My point is, it's the lower level stuff, and as such, I think there's competition between them and first-time buyers. But I do see the buy-to-let market's cooled slightly.
I see that as well.
Changes,
definitely.
I think, with taxation. You really have to do your research now to make sure it's the right investment vehicle for you. So we've seen that market cooling a little bit. And again, these are all good helps to first-time buyers. These are good things for first-time buyers.
Yeah, it's hard for first-time buyers still to get on that ladder.
Yeah.
You know, they have to have a huge deposit. And if they're in rented accommodation, the big rent you've got to pay nowadays, so you know, and I guess that's why the bank of mum and dad are still one of the biggest lenders.
Absolutely, so, we certainly see that with our mortgage guys, ESPC Mortgages. You know, they'll often say that the money is being raised from the parents or even the grandparents through equity release. Can I plug the ESPC first time buyers
prize draw?
So a few times a year we also run a prize draw, as you'll know, where we give away £3,000 as a deposit for a first time buyer, because felt it was beholden on us to put a little bit back in there. So we do a series of them throughout the year and just keep an eye out for those.
Do you get a good uplift
on that? We'll get a lot of people, a lot through social, you know, because you get lots of interaction on social media. I think the last one had over 1,000 entrants. But somebody has to win, you know, and it's free to enter. And I think the real heartwarming thing is we've done about 5 of these now, and I think there's 2 cases where people have bought, either through you're going through that process, but people have bought and you can see the difference that money's made. Mm-hmm. So they've moved into the home and it's paid for legals or paid for the new character.
I think that's
whatever,
it's cash,
you know,
isn't it? That they can use for the boiler or whatever.
It makes a difference, yeah. So we'll continue to do those because we think it's a good thing for the market. Yeah,
good. And closing dates are still pretty much
Absolutely. I think it's still, as you know, you only go to closing when you're pretty sure that you're going to be able to get the property sold. And a lot of that comes down to the amount of notes of interest
that you have.
Is there a metric? I mean, is there a number where you go, well, we've got 3 notes of interest? Is there a number that you...
I would say I'm always reluctant to go with a closing with 2 because it's precarious. If one pulls out, then you're not really left in a competitive situation. So I always think 3 or above. But, you know, it's a fickle market. And, you know, you can go to a closing with 6 notes of interest and still end up with 1 offer.
Really?
But equally... Yeah. What I have seen happen quite often recently is you go to a closing with 6 notes of interest, say, and you get 10 offers.
So
people are hanging in the background. They don't want a note of interest to fuel that fire of competition, and they swoop in at the last minute.
So they're playing a bit of poker there.
They absolutely are playing a bit of poker. So, but you know, that's the market.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's never dull, and it keeps everybody on their toes.
Indeed. I tell you, in terms of closing dates, just as well, we've seen this year again, and if we're looking for indicators here, last year it was something like 29.2% of property going to closing dates, and in the first quarter of the year, this year is 24.8%. So what does that tell us? It probably just again indicates that maybe things are cooling a little, and things are taking slightly longer to sell, because there were plenty of evidence this last year of properties coming on and you go into closing within a week or 3 or 4 days, whereas now I think it's taking slightly longer, isn't it? You're getting more of a feel for the market. It's taking longer to get those notes of interest in.
Yeah. We're certainly seeing it cooler at the higher end of the market. Seems to be moving really well. We're getting good sales at you know, the high end, and, you know, even the £1 million+. I mean, I had 2 transactions where I was offering to buy over £1 million, and we were the top offer for both.
Yeah.
And we were rejected for both because they got the second offer was cash.
Oh really? Yes, yeah, it's back to what we were saying.
So,
about cash,
you know,
banking,
and at that level, you know, that was always quite a difficult market anyway, because the LBTT is so much bigger now. But
nice,
it just shows you, I think there's a demand at that end of the market.
Yeah.
So it seems to be extremes, that, you know, the first time buyers, and the other end of that is the people that are looking £1 million+.
That's interesting, isn't it?
There doesn't seem to be much out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, at any one time, there's not a huge amount of choice at that top end, there is there really.
No.
I tell you, the other market, sure you'd agree, is the likes of Gustafson and, you know, the 3-bedroom houses seem to be popular. Again, a big driver is school and school cash.
School is a huge driver, yeah.
We see that, but we've seen a real rise in those, up nearly 17% in last year.
Right, that's a big increase.
Yeah, you know, 329,000 for a property in the likes of Gustafson, South Down, East Coast, you know, that area, which is very popular. So. Yeah, just an indication again of how big a driver likes the school catchment areas are.
Yeah.
We feel it's probably around 30% or so of decisions made or purchases priority school catchment area.
Yeah, I would agree. We had a recent closing date actually in Gustafson, and it went way over the home report valuation.
Yeah.
It was excellent, good for the seller. And what do you think the new build market is like at the minute? Do you think that's cooled a little bit?
I think it has. I mean, I think what you're seeing, which you've not seen for a while, is a slight return to part exchange. Which is always a sign that maybe the market's slightly cooling, because then you have the developer offering to take your property off you. And I suppose if you're going to enter that into Partex, it probably is doing your due diligence, isn't it? And thinking, well, okay, what could I get on the open market?
Yeah.
Because the market's still very strong versus what am I being offered as a Portex, and are you better selling and then negotiating on the new build? So that's an interesting debate, and you know, probably a solicitor's better place than anyone to give them that advice, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's plenty of development going on, but we recognise, and I think we both agree, we need more supply.
We do, absolutely.
We have rising rents, we have rising house prices, and so the same thing in every podcast, every interview, there's a supply issue, because I think Edinburgh still remains a really popular destination people want to live in, and until we increase the amount of supply, we have to get used to just rising prices and rents, and you know, that doesn't really feel either sustainable or fair, and it doesn't really feel, in my view, that the market's working for everybody. So, you know, I think it's good that we see these developments. And we're seeing a lot more of conversions as well, as we know. I know you've got a couple that may be coming on quite soon,
yep.
Where it's a building that maybe is converted into residential, and I think that's great. It brings a building back to life, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, because often these buildings are lying in a poor state of repair.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does, it raises the whole area, really.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, you see sometimes it'd be a church or a warehouse or a factory or something, and it's great. And certainly when I was talking to Edinburgh Council a few months ago, they were talking about, you know, the focus on brownfield sites and getting those back into use and development. So it's kind of what we want to see, infill as well as the big developments they're doing, but small infill projects as well make a difference.
We always want more. We want more
we
properties
do.
To sell. And talking about we want more, the SPC have got their campaign is we get you more.
That's right.
So we want
yes.
more people to sell through the SPC.
We do, yeah. So again, we're running with the same campaign that we did last year. We carry out exhaustive research on this and have it all independently verified. To prove the point that you'll get more using a ESPC solicitor estate agent as opposed to a non-ESPC firm. And the gap remains 3%. And you know,
which is it's a strong figure, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I mean, if we're talking about the average house price in Edinburgh sitting at 255,000, 3% on that is a significant amount of money. You know, you're £7,500 or so. So you know, it makes a big difference. And we know from our own research, people will go to the SPC first. Our research would indicate recently that there's a number of people that don't look at any of the sites. So, you know, I think the very fact that we can capture that market and quickly move to closing day is one of the key reasons we get this premium.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a real kind of niche in the Edinburgh market, I would say. It's got such a strong presence and
will
may continue.
Indeed.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate
my
your
pleasure.
Chat today, and I'm sure we'll do more of these, and hopefully everybody found that interesting. Apologies for any external noise. We seem to have chosen a time where there was lots of car noises in the background.
The Brexit alarm.
Yeah, hopefully it was all clear. So, thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you. Cheers.